The following message is from New Life Gillette Series, The Gift. Part 2 is from New Life's Christmas Eve service.
Hey, let me say welcome to those of you who are watching online. I know there's a big group of you tonight, and those of you who are here in the room. We're today talking about Christmas. So let's remember back. The year is 4 BC, and God himself, in the form of a man named Jesus Christ, leaves his throne in heaven to come to earth for you. And that may seem a little bit weird, especially if you know that 4 BC is not a great time in history. Just do a little bit of research about what's going on in that world. It is a time of poverty, of political upheaval, of wars and famine and disease. They've got this disease called leprosy that's running rampant at this time. And when you get leprosy, it's not just like you quarantine for a couple weeks. It is, you are forever removed from your society. You are forever separated from your family unless something crazy happens. And so it's a pretty crazy world. And the fact that Jesus would leave his throne in heaven to come to this world means Jesus is either crazy or madly in love. And today we're going to make the case that he came to this world because he was madly in love with you. Even a bigger step than Noel leaving New York to come to a small town to meet Steve Jobless, Jesus came to earth to meet you. Though he was rich, he became poor. For your sake, he became poor, so that by his poverty, he could make you rich. Rich in hope, rich in love, rich in peace, the things that the world has so little of. Now, there's a lot of money to go around, and some people have a lot more than other people, but that's not the type of riches he came to offer you. When the angels announced the arrival of Jesus, what did they say? They said, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Peace even in 2020. Jesus traded his throne in heaven for a feeding trough on earth to bring you peace. In the past couple services, we've been talking about some gifts and how Christmas is a season of giving, and that was kind of sparked by three wise men. Well, they were actually more than three or less than three. We don't know how many were there were, but they brought three gifts to Jesus. Those three gifts that they brought to Jesus were frankincense, gold, and myrrh, and these gifts these wise men were using to foretell who Jesus would become. And I believe that the wise men gave the gold to Jesus and his family to signal the fact that the Messiah would become a king, that the Messiah was the King of Kings. See, the wise men were educated scholars who were fully aware of who the Messiah would become. And they, when they heard that this Messiah was born in Bethlehem, they went to Bethlehem. They traveled a long way to get to Bethlehem. And when they got there, they bowed down and worshiped Jesus. Why? Because they knew that he was the King of Heaven who had come to earth to bring peace. King Jesus. So they worship a toddler. Okay, let's play a game. This game is called Name That King. And I'm going to give you a description, and you're going to tell me what king I am talking about. Hint, the answers are going to have the word king in them. When you think of a big gorilla, you think of King Kong. Good, you got that one. One for one. When you think of Simba, you think of Lion King, two for two, the Lion King. When you think of the Whopper, hold the pickle, hold the lettuce, special orders, don't upset us. Burger King, three for three. Okay, they're going to get harder now. When you think of TV interviews, Larry King. She got it. When you think of NBA basketball players, LeBron, we got a fan back here. LeBron, the whining King James. Sorry. When you think of tennis, Billie Jean King, I'm impressed. Okay, we're going to change genres to music. When you think of the blues, you think of B.B. King. Very good. When you think of jazz, you think of, no, Nat King Cole. All two of you got it. When you think of rap, you obviously think of Kanye. And Kanye declared what? Jesus is king is what Kanye says. And Kanye is right. But Jesus wasn't surrounded by wealth and luxury and the fame that all of these people that we've been talking about were surrounded with. If a king were born into our world today, you'd expect them to show up on the scene with Gucci onesies, baby Yeezys. He'd be dripping. I don't know if we have any teenagers in the room, but I'm trying really hard to be relevant with you. But that's not how Jesus showed up on the scene. Jesus, King Jesus, became poor. Jesus was born the son of a carpenter or a stonemason from Nazareth. Nothing good comes from Nazareth. He was born in a cave with farm animals. And that's because Jesus was a king like no other. Jesus befriended prostitutes and touched the lepers that we talked about earlier. He hung out with uneducated fishermen, and despised tax collectors, and people like you. He hung out with the scum of the earth, the people would have said. He was a king like no other. He put people into leadership that the other rabbis had just passed over and passed by. He was a king like no other. That's because he was a king who was not motivated by his own advancement, by his own wealth, by his own power. He was a king who was motivated by his love for you. And when you are motivated by love, your actions are different than when you are motivated by personal advancement. He came for you. So the question then becomes, if he came for you, how then will you receive him? What will your response to him be? Because when Jesus came to earth as a baby in a feeding trough, there were different people who responded in different ways. And I think today we are still responding in the same ways that we responded when Jesus came to earth. So let's talk about the three distinct ways that we see in Scripture that people responded to King Jesus. Not everyone received him the same way. And today, I think that we respond in these same three ways. The first of the three reactions to Jesus, we will say, is represented by King Herod, among other people in Scripture. King Herod was threatened by King Jesus. King Herod had power. And he knew that if there is another king who may threaten his throne, that he would lose power. He lived in a world where he could do what he wants when he wanted to do it. Nobody could tell him what to do. He was the king. And if he would surrender kingship to Jesus, if he would acknowledge that Jesus was king, that would mean he would have to answer to somebody else. That means he wouldn't make his own rules. That means he couldn't make his own agenda. That means somebody else was in charge, and he's not willing to do that. Many of us do this today. We know that admitting that Jesus is who he said he was, that Jesus is king, that Jesus is God, means that it's going to mean something about my life. Means that my truth is not my truth. In fact, my truth is not truth at all if it is not the truth of Scripture. I'm not okay with admitting that he's king because that means I don't call the shots. The second response that we see in Scripture is the response of the religious leaders. And the religious leaders dismissed Jesus. Now, the weird thing is they should have been the one who received him, who were most excited about his arrival. See, the religious leaders were waiting for a king. They were excited about the arrival of a king, but they never for a moment thought that the king would lay in a manger. This king can't possibly be the Messiah, right? And these are the people who were probably just 5 miles down the road from where Jesus was born, these religious leaders. The wise men travel from far away to worship Jesus, but the religious leaders who are 5 miles down the road don't think Jesus is worth their time. And this is honestly probably the reaction of more people in the world today. We hear about the offer of getting to meet with Jesus on Sunday mornings or whenever it is you gather together with the church. We hear about the opportunity to be a part of the body of Christ, to be a part of the mission, the Christian mission that God instituted on the world. We say, I like to sleep in. I've got my routine. I'm good. Not worth my time. We hear about the opportunity to read a love letter from God himself. God himself gave us instructions we call the Bible. And we hear the opportunity to get to know God himself through a letter that he wrote to us, and we think, I don't like reading. Not my thing. That can't be the king, right? Let's just move on. I don't want to talk about it. The third reaction to the King Jesus is the reaction of the wise men who worshiped toddler Jesus. I don't know why, but it's just harder for me to imagine. Like, it's one thing to worship a baby. It's a whole other thing to realize actually he was like 2 or 3 years old when they finally got there. They're worshiping a toddler. So the wise men, the magi, we three kings decided to worship the one true king, the King of Kings. So which will be your reaction? Because let's be honest, for many people, Christmas Eve is just a pass-through service. Easter's Passover service. This is pass-through service. We got dinner to take care of. Got to get to grandma's house. Got to wrap presents. Just going to get the tradition in there. Hope the pastor doesn't preach too long because we got to get in and out. Got things to do. They better not make me burn the turkey. I got stuff to get done. This is just a routine that we do. This is just, I'm going to come and go. Today I have an invitation for you. Don't let this be a pass-through service. Don't just let this be another Christmas Eve service. Don't just let this be another day, because if we just treat every day like it's just another day, we never really advance, right? We never really have change in our lives, right? We never have a better today than yesterday, because we're just doing whatever comes naturally, whatever comes easy, whatever is comfortable. But it's on days like these when we are faced with the crazy reality that 2,000 years ago, God came to earth to bring peace on earth. What was he thinking? What he was thinking is about you. Scripture tells us that God has many thoughts about you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows you intimately, and he loves you anyway. He knows everything there is about you. And he did everything he could to run after you, to find you, to save you. So maybe for you, the finale of 2020 is not another disaster. Maybe for you, the finale of 2020 is not more pain. Maybe for you, the finale of 2020 is life change. Is unexplainable peace that goes beyond our ability to understand. I don't know why, but when I realize that my life is bigger than just these moments and just the pain that I'm experiencing, I realize that it's bigger than me. I have something to be a part of, and that gives me hope and peace. Maybe for you, the finale of 2020 is surrender to the King of Kings, in which you just say, God, I don't need to be in charge anymore. God, I don't want to be in charge anymore because my way isn't working. I want to adopt your agenda. God, thank you for coming to this world to give me peace, to forgive me of my sins, to make me your child. God, thank you for Christmas and your love. Paul says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. And this is the gift that is being offered to you, not by me, not by the wise men, but by God himself. Don't dismiss him. Don't ignore him. Follow the wise men and worship King Jesus. Make him your king.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.